Reading for today is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Now, I have been intentionally greeting you, both when you came in the door and if you saw me and from here, with Merry Christmas. And I'm wondering how many of you don't necessarily have to raise your hands, but how many of you went, is he kidding me with the Merry Christmas stuff? I have just finished Christmas. Christmas is over. There is no more shopping, no more cooking, no more decorating, no more cleaning my house, and no more Christmas songs on the radio and in stores and everywhere I go. Maybe some of you feel like that. Others of you are holding on to as much Christmas as humanly possible. I know this. To those of you who are there, I want to say to you, this is the first Sunday of Christmas on the church calendar. Did you know this? That for the American Christmas, let's call it, American Christmas starts on the day after Thanksgiving, right? Well, let's be honest. It starts like the day after Halloween, right? That's when you start seeing some Christmas stuff up. Officially starts on what's called Black Friday. What a great name to start the holiday season. On Black Friday, where everybody starts elbowing and pushing and shoving to buy the latest thing and to make sure they get the deals, because you want to, I hear this term a lot, I'm going to say this term, because you want to win Christmas. Have you heard this term? I'm going to win Christmas. Meaning that, you know, you're going to give the best gift and everybody's going to be wowed. And you wrestle through the American Christmas season for well over a month. Like thinking about what you're going to do and how you get to the holiday. For the church, Christmas begins on December the 25th. That's when Christmas begins. And it goes for, I wonder if anybody knows this, how many days? Shout it out. 12 days! How many of your mind just went, when the 12 days of Christmas song is going through your mind? That's what the 12 days of Christmas is. The 12 days of Christmas is from December 25th till Epiphany. Which Epiphany is when we celebrate the wise men. I'm not going to get into that. Barbara will handle that. But Epiphany is that the end of the Christmas season, and it goes for 12 days. Wow. So, Merry Christmas. We are actually in our Christmas season. And Christmas is that time for us as the church where we get to reflect on what all of this is about. What does this mean that God, the one that created the universe and breathed life into all of us, comes into our world as flesh and bone, as vulnerable as a little baby. And not just a baby born in a nice place. He wasn't born at the Hilton. He was born in a barn and laid in what is, anybody who ever wonder what a manger is? A manger is a feeding trough, a place where they kept hay and food for the animals. And so he was laid in somebody's dish bowl, wrapped in swaddling clothes, as we start to scratch our heads and going, what is this all about? What's the deal with these shepherds? Shouldn't have this been announced to politicians and kings and, or at least priests? All the religious people should at least gotten a note card that this was happening. But no, it goes out to shepherds watching their flocks at night. And then you've got, again, Barbara will cover this, these foreigners that come on Epiphany, these what we call the kings or the wise men or the magi, the mysterious guys that come from all over the place. What does this mean? What is this all about? The world is winding down their Christmas celebration. And I admit, for those of us who the Christmas season was full, it's nice to take a step back. And I think that step back from the American cultural Christmas allows us to take just a brief moment, 12 days, to be able to reflect on what Christmas means for us. There's no Christmas parties. There's nothing to shop for. It's just an opportunity to consider. Now, beyond all the craziness of the season, I love the Christmas season. I love the cultural Christmas season. It is very, very nice. It's nice to watch people be kind to one another, to wish each other Merry Christmas, to be a little bit more generous, to work on being lights in the dark, to give charitably, to be able to take care of people that are in need. But now that it's done, we go back to our regularly scheduled programming. Cue the Law and Order music. Dun, dun. We go back to the normal life. But I couldn't help during this Christmas season to think that everything that we celebrate during the Christmas season, not our Christmas, but the cultural Christmas, is what we do all the time. What we do day in and day out as the church. All of that stuff, we practice kindness. Kindness is something that we do as the church. We love one another. We forgive one another. We are patient with one another. We practice those traits and gifts, or at least we are supposed to. We are the ones that bring light to the darkness every single day. Yes, we had, in some ways, a terrible day yesterday. And for many of us, this season has been really, really hard. It's been particularly difficult for our family. But I couldn't help yesterday but notice is that how the church gathered around people in pain and provided light to the darkness. That's not a Christmas thing. That's a church thing. In fact, I heard from the people in pain and said, I really didn't know that we had this kind of community. But in our pain, we realize of how our community, our church has surrounded us. For the first time, I understand what kind of community we are a part of. That's not a Christmas thing. That's a church thing. That's what we do. We generously care for the needy year round. It is what we do. We are Christmas. We are Christmas year round. We have a Christmas tradition at the house. Actually, it's a new tradition for me. It was a Christmas tradition long before I became part of the larger family that I am now a part of. Since I was young, my favorite Christmas thing was the Christmas Carol. Like watching a Christmas Carol. I used to love watching a Christmas Carol. As a boy growing up, I loved being a little bit scared at Christmas when the ghosts would come around and it was all black and white and it was eerie and it was fun. Anything Charles Dickens does is terrifying on some level. And I loved going through that as a kid. But Now I have my very own Christmas carol. See what I did there? Yeah. And she has upgraded my Christmas experience to Bill Murray's Scrooged. You know this one? Bill Murray's Scrooged. And Bill Murray's Scrooged is a retelling of my favorite Christmas experience, the Christmas Carol, in a little bit more modern, kind of a 1980s feel, where instead of Ebenezer Scrooge in his counting house, we've got Frank Cross, who's a TV executive. And Frank goes through all of the things that Ebenezer Scrooge has to go through. He's visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and has that same revelation that Ebenezer Scrooge has. And he gives this speech. And I wanted to read you the speech. I'm not going to try and do a Bill Murray impersonation. I'm just going to read you the speech as me, because I think it gives us some reminders of some good things. So he comes, he shows up to the set of a live retelling of Ebenezer Scrooge that's going out over the whole world. And people look at him like, oh man, he must be losing it, because he's filled with joy and excitement. And he says, "I'm not crazy. It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer, when we smile a little easier, when we cheer a little more. For a couple hours out of the whole year, we are the people we always hoped we'd be. It's a miracle. It's really a sort of a miracle, because it happens every Christmas Eve. And if you waste that miracle, you're going to burn for it. I know what I'm talking about. But you have to do something. You have to take a chance. You do have to get involved. There are people that are having trouble making their miracle happen. There are people that don't have enough to eat. There are people that are cold. You can go out and say hello to these people. You can take out an old blanket out of the closet and say, here. You can make them a sandwich and say, oh, by the way, here. I get it now. And if you give, then you can make it happen. Then the miracle can happen for you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody that's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this pure thing, the miracle will happen. And then you will want it to happen again tomorrow. You won't be one of those people who say Christmas is once a year and it's a fraud. It's not. It can happen every day. You've just got to want that feeling. And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it. You'll want it every day of your life. And it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's going to happen to me now. I'm ready for it. And it's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time. I'm ready." As I watched that speech this year, I thought, yeah, that's it. It is something that we do year round. We can find people that are cold and that are hungry, and we can go, hello, here. That's what we do. Not just on Christmas Eve. It's something that we live every day. Because what we carry with us, we don't carry three ghosts of past, present, and future. But we carry the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God shows us those people that are in need. It opens our eyes so that we can actually see those things that so often we are out of tune to because of our distracted world. I've watched this community surround people in pain, people in need. I've watched this community embrace people. I've watched people come into this place and find themselves more loved than they have all week long. And I've realized, and even on a Sunday, this is a historically low attended Sunday, and I get it. But there's a reason why you came. Not because you're celebrating Christmas, or not because you have to. It's not Easter yet. You come because this is a place where you touch something bigger than yourself. And you realize it's not about Christmas. It's about Christ and about what has happened here. Paul in Colossians, as I read that, I could easily read that passage in some kind of town square Christmas celebration, and everyone would think I was talking about a Christmas. This was a Christmas passage. Where he says, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That's better than a red suit. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. And it says, clothe yourselves with love. Sometimes we work so hard trying to be good. And here in this passage, Paul says, if you're trying to figure it all out, just wrap all of this in love and you'll get it right. And let the peace of Christ, that peace on earth, goodwill toward people, let that peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it be that thing that you do that when he says the peace of Christ, it's not saying peace of Christ. It's not the Zen. It's not the silent night. It's saying that peace of Christ, that movement that says we are going to work toward reconciling one another to bring peace into people's lives, not conflict, not stress, not hunger, not fear. We bring peace. We are driven and motivated, and we have the Spirit of Christ to be our guide year round. So family, as we're in this Christmas season, take some time and remember, reflect on what it is that we do. Maybe take this passage, Colossians, and maybe read it every day for the coming 12 days and just reflect on what it is to be those who live in Christmas every day, year round. I wanted us to be able to have some time to participate in something together. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, we have a little bit of a litany called the Work of Christmas. We are just going to say this in repeat. And again, this is something that you can hold on to. You can post it on your refrigerator. You can put it inside your day timer. Whatever it is something that you remember what it is that we do. And we're going to repeat just like we would do a call to worship or anything like that. And I figure we would end this time together with saying this litany, reminding ourselves of the work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the kings and the princes are home, the work of Christmas begins. To heal the broken, to release the prisoner, to bring peace among family. Amen.